Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step up and plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might even check.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. On one hand, you have a Memphis Grizzlies team who has finally broken their five-game losing streak. They looked more themselves. There's no doubt about that. They had more energy. They seemed more crisp in terms of execution. They were playing their game, and they beat the arguably the hottest team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks, who was in the middle of a six-game winning streak heading into Memphis. They lose to the Grizzlies. That's the good news. Everybody seemingly was happy about that. The bad news, at least to me, some folks seemed overjoyed. It was amazing. It was like ding-dong, the witch is dead. Chandler Parsons. It came out right before the game. Credit to Ron Tillery of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Did a good job, it seems, sleuthing in terms of figuring, kind of prying this out. Chandler Parsons likely done for the year with a meniscus tear in another knee, not his quote-unquote bad one. So I guess you could say they're both bad. They both have issues, obviously. So it looks likely that Chandler Parsons has played his last game for the Grizzlies, at least this season. And, of course, it's the first year of a four-year contract. So he will hopefully be back better than ever heading into next season. But is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Either way, Parsons remains a topic of conversation, as does what the Grizzlies are capable of doing without him now that that seems the likeliest scenario, at least for the next 15 games and then however long the Grizzlies are in the postseason. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for joining me. Wherever you may be, however you may be taking in the podcast, a part of our Two for Wednesday. The Grizzlies start a back-to-back on Wednesday night against the Chicago Bulls. We are doing a back-to-back, so to speak, myself and Chase Lucas. The fourth episode of You Like Hoops is publishing Wednesday morning. Obviously, we record this on Tuesday night, so it'll also be up on the site live Wednesday morning. So two podcasts for the back-to-back in the middle of the work week. Go ahead and catch up on all things Grizzly. Get to know Kevin Lipe a little bit better. That is Chase's guest this week on the You Like Hoops podcast. And then here, obviously, more Grizzly-centric as we have my guest tonight who covers the games for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Speaking of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, I highly recommend that you go and check out GBB. We have a ton of great content going up this week and every day at the site. Very proud of our staff of writers who are doing a tremendous job as we close out the regular season and look towards the postseason. Continue to make GBB one of your major stops as part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. Make sure you're following Grizzly Bear Blues on Twitter if you don't already, at SBN Grizzlies. I, the site manager, if you want to follow me, Joe Mullinax, at Joe Mullinax is the Twitter handle. And if you want to follow our podcast here, GBB Live, you can follow us at GBB Live. Lots of good content, as I said. Make sure you're keeping up with us there. Plan for the show tonight. This week, if you're listening to the live show, it's tonight. My guest is going to be Grace Baker. She is the Grizzly Bear Blues game coverage editor. She covers the games for GBB, so she has a unique perspective, obviously attending games as a media member, going into the locker room, those sorts of things, press conferences. She has a inside ear and eye as to body language, what's going on. For me, watching it from home on League Pass, it looked like a different team simply because Parsons wasn't out there. And Vince Carter's not going to play as well as he did consistently. That's just not going to happen and all that stuff. But we're talking about Mark. We're talking about Mike. Talking about the overall demeanor of the roster. It seemed like a weight had been lifted. And I say that as a Parsons fan. So we'll ask her about that. We'll ask her about Mark and his malaise going into last night. He was not playing very well. And we'll kind of look ahead. Can the Grizzlies win without Chandler Parsons in terms of a playoff series? You could argue they were going to have to do that whether he was playing or not. But now that it is essentially decided that it's definitely going to be without him, are they able to push this thing into a playoff run? I am not as bullish on that, spoiler alert, but we'll talk more about that with Grace here in a little bit. We also will make an announcement at the end of the show, a GBB announcement. We're excited about one of the events we have coming up. We will talk about that at the end of the podcast. So a lot of stuff going on this week, talking to Grace Baker here in a moment. And then, of course, we will have that announcement at the end of the show after we do our preview of the week ahead. My guest this week is the GBB, the Grizzly Bear Blues game coverage editor. She's done a tremendous job this season in that role for us. She helps me with scheduling. She helps with editing. She's an editor on the site. She also, her main duty is the game coverage liaison, so to speak. She bears the burden of the Grizzly Bear Blues media pass that the Memphis Grizzlies give out. And shout out to Ross and all those folks over at the Grizzlies who are always so kind to us at GBB. Grace is our game coverage person. She does a tremendous job on her recap. She's grown as the season has gone on, very well into the role, and she continues to do it for us, and she will going into the playoffs. Very excited to have her on. GBB's game coverage editor, Grace Baker. Grace, how are you doing this week? It's exciting to have you back on the show.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. You have obviously great insight, as I just mentioned, covering the games for us, something that I had a chance to do before I left Memphis. Obviously, Chris Faulkner has done it in the past for us, Chip Williams, other folks. It's your time to shine, and you're doing a terrific job with it, and I'm excited to have you on to kind of talk about that. And we'll lead off with everybody's favorite good-looking guy to hate on, Chandler Parsons. And, you know, at first, before we get into that, Grace, I don't know if you have listened to the podcast lately or to Chase's new podcast, the very first episode that I was on. Chase did a tremendous job. He's quite a talented musician, surprisingly. He has a beautiful voice. And on the first episode, he recorded for me a parody of Candle in the Wind, a Chandle in the Wind. And I'm going to talk to him. We might have to make a full song of this. But just if you'll indulge me for a moment, I need to play this for my for my latest fallen wing, Chandler Parsons. So here we go.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing when the jump shot would start to go in.
I'm holding up my cell phone.
And I would have liked to know you when you had working knees. Your chandle burned out long before your contract ever will.
And I am a Chandler Parsons guy. I can't stress that enough. I wrote an article about how it'd be a marriage made in heaven. I have been on the Chandler Parsons boat since the boat existed. But as I said, Grace, and we'll get your take on this, there's no doubt the news broke that he was out. You know, obviously it was just originally going to be left knee soreness, and then he sits for the game, and then it comes out again, like I said, through Tillery and other sources. He's going to be potentially out for the remainder of the season, likely for the remainder of the season. Then you get to the game against the Milwaukee Bucks, who have been playing terrific basketball lately. The Grizzlies have been playing the opposite of that. And they go from the living embodiment of the GIF on Twitter that's Elmo sitting on the toilet being paid to poop. They go from that to Vince Carter turning the clock back 15 years and the Grizzlies suddenly being a good basketball team again. They talked about on Twitter and they talked about on the broadcast, Pranica and Brevin Knight. The team looked different. There was a pep in their step. There was an energy there. You cover the game for us at GBB. Would you agree with that sentiment? And obviously after the game, you got this speak to them and hear them answer questions as well. Did the team seem different after that news about Parsons had come about?
Oh yeah, they seemed totally different, like a just completely different version of themselves. And you know, it was nice to finally see the fans have something to cheer about. I mean, the past handful of home games have been pretty depressing, and the crowds have definitely reflected the games. And it was great to see the fans giving the Grizzlies several standing ovations and really getting engaged in the game because there was actually something to cheer about. It was like, what is this winning feeling? Because we hadn't felt it in a while. It'd been several weeks. And, you know, just going into the locker room and the press conference, there was smiling, laughing, and the body language was just a totally different vibe to it, really.
Different body language, different vibes. It definitely was apparent on television. And I've listened to podcasts and I've read articles about, you know, Jeff Calkins, and I kind of got into it last night, and I respect Jeff, but we've just disagreed on Chandler Parsons. And he wrote about, and he said in the podcast that I listened to on the Commercial Appeal, he talked about how nobody actively wanted this for Chandler Parsons. And as I've said to other people in the past, no, but at the same time, maybe I just follow bad people on Twitter, because I have seen some folks that, you know, and Facebook is a different animal. We love our Facebook followers on GBB, but the comment section can be brutal at times. You know, there's a lot of angst towards Chandler Parsons, not necessarily from the media or even the bloggers, those pseudo in-between fan media types, maybe not so much from them, but there really is a feeling in the fan base that Chandler Parsons was not only holding the team back, but that he was a complete mistake. And to me, that's a bit of revisionist history. And I'm talking about that in an article that I'm doing with Matt Hardlicka for later on this week, one of our email exchanges that we do from time to time. The fact that this is being looked at as a mistake by anybody is a mistake, because Chandler Parsons was the very best that the Grizzlies could have done. They had to take that shot. They had to see what they had in him, and they had to try to get him as right as possible. We'll talk more about this in a moment, but without a healthy Chandler Parsons, or even a semi-functioning Chandler Parsons, this Grizzlies team is hurt. So to me, watching the team be better, that's good in the short term, but was there any sense from the team itself that, you know, there was a concern for Chandler in the long run, or was it just, you know, more of a focus on that night, in your opinion?
Well, they definitely talked about Chandler Parsons. I mean, I definitely think there's a concern surrounding him. You know, they talked about that he just needs to rest and get fully better. And if he has to get shut down for the season, I mean, they're just focused on the next game. There was definitely a sense of concern, but at the same time, they're focused on the task at hand, I felt like. So there was
that
kind of a balance.
That task at hand just got harder, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Again, that's not to say that Chandler Parsons was some elite basketball player this year, or even 80% of what he once was. He was terrible this year. I'm not saying that he wasn't. My concern is moving forward and looking ahead to the short term and long term, what all of this means. Because if he is truly shut down, then you start worrying about next season. You start worrying about the length of this contract. You start worrying about, in the short term, how are they going to replace them? And obviously they talked about Omri Caspi as a potential pickup. Mark Stein reported that of ESPN, and that would be nice, but rarely does Memphis get chosen in those ways. Oh, wait, the last time they were chosen in that way was Chandler Parsons. So it's interesting to see how he has generated so much angst. Chandler Parsons, we wish him well. We wish him a speedy recovery. And, of course, I'm sure he will remain a topic of conversation on this podcast heading into the offseason and through the postseason as well. Vince Carter live. How cool was that, Grace, to be able to sit there and watch Vince Carter play one of the best games of his career at the age of 40? He was 8-for-8 shooting. He launched it from three, did a reverse dunk. He was just all over the place. It must have been pretty special to see Vince Sanity back in full swing.
Yeah, that was great. That was definitely the best part of the game for me, watching him knock down threes and the reverse dunk. And then afterward, getting to stand next to him and hear him talk about it, just grinning from ear to ear, and hearing his teammates just praise him and talk about what a great game he had. It was definitely special, and I'll never forget that, seeing him go 8-of-8 from the field for 24 points, because that's pretty special, especially at age 40. I've never seen anything like that before.
An amazing talent, and obviously Vince Carter, a surefire Hall of Famer at some point, whenever he hangs it up. I'm curious, obviously Vince has played his very best season
definitely
as a Memphis Grizzly this year, and obviously he's getting up there in age and all those fun things. I'm curious as to your opinion on this, Grace. Do you think Vince Carter is back as a Memphis Grizzly next year?
I think he is. With the way he's playing this season, I think he could go another year. Unless he's just wanting to end on like a good note and not push the envelope per se, I think he'll go for another year, because all the quotes I've heard from him are like, it doesn't sound like he wants to retire yet to me.
I'm intrigued. He's making things a little bit harder for them, that's for sure. We're chatting with Grace Baker here, the game coverage editor of GBBGrizzlyBearBlues.com. She does a terrific job for us. Follow her on Twitter if you don't already do so, at GraceBaker901. So you're acknowledging that the body language was different, and I would agree with that, Grace. One of the players who it was most different for, at least to my eyes, was Marc Gasol. And this is something that Matt and I are talking about in our article that will come out later this week. He is a player that seems to mentally get disrupted by guys who either he doesn't agree with the style they play, or they're not playing well enough, or if management or coaches are making a decision that Mark is not on board with, he seems to almost shut down. Jeff Green's a good example of that. There were times where Mark really didn't play well, and Jeff Green, you know, there are people that said, oh, well, it's because of Jeff Green. Well, Marc Gasol is the max contract player. Now it was Chandler's fault that Mark wasn't playing well. What does it say that you have a max contract player on your roster that can be so heavily influenced by lesser players? So I choose to believe that Mark just kind of goes into these malaises in and out because, or he goes through these struggles because, you know, everybody struggles. Nobody is perfect in an 82-game season that is such a grind. But at the same time, there has to be some sort of connection, and that kind of concerns me moving forward, not Mark's health. You know, it's not necessarily his physical health. It's his mental standing in terms of being able to, whether it's with Chandler Parsons, you know, he even, I forget who quoted or who he was talking to about it, but he even said, you know, about playing with Vince, you know, he'll take a shot, or you know, he'll take the shot, some sort of, that's not a direct quote, that's paraphrasing. You're taking a shot at Chandler Parsons, and Chandler Parsons is making $94 million. No one should feel sorry for him in that regard. But Mark is also being paid a pretty hefty price tag. To me, if you're going to be a max player, you should be able to be at or near your max best, regardless of whether or not Chandler Parsons is taking a shot. So do you think Mark rising from this, does that make you, I don't want to say think less of him, but do you have a concern about Mark's status in terms of looking at guys like that?
Well, I don't think he's really being affected by lesser players. I feel like he just doesn't have that true alpha dog mentality. And one of the main problems with the Grizzlies is that they don't have a true alpha dog. I mean, we know that Mark or Mike can go off for 30 points, but they have to take charge of the game to do it. And for a stretch, Mark was doing that, and the Grizzlies were winning. And then after the All-Star break, Mike Conley has been awesome, while Marc Gasol has played, like, he's played fine, but he's faded into the background a bit. And in a perfect world, they'd both be aggressive offensively, and one of them would take over the game whenever needed. But I'm not, like, super concerned about Mark right now because he seems healthy, and he isn't playing terribly. I mean, in the past 10 games, he's averaging about 17 points. It just feels underwhelming after watching him before the All-Star break when he was going off for 25, 30 a night. So I don't think he's being affected by lesser players. I think it's a combination of multiple factors and him just going through a stretch where he's got to get back to that mentality he had before the All-Star break and have a sense of urgency about him.
That's the way I try to look at it too, Grace. Like I said, I Marc Gasol is the best Memphis Grizzly of all time at this point, three-time All-Star, tremendous talent. He really has done a great job building up his career in Memphis. It's just one of those things that maybe is a weakness of his. Again, nobody is perfect. You know, even LeBron James has his flaws as a basketball player. And for Mark, maybe it is that kind of slide, you know, down when he's frustrated and he's not able to fully step up and take on that mantle of leadership. But that's not, you know, that's not everybody. Not everybody can do that. So I think that's okay. It's interesting. And David Fizdale has put a lot of pressure on Mark this season in that regard when it comes to leadership. Speaking of David Fizdale, he has been an interesting interview of late, whether it's him telling people to kiss his ass, and that's his direct words, or whether it's in a conversation with, you know, Ron Tillery of the Commercial Appeal, where he kind of hints at the fact that Chandler Parsons playing was an organizational thing that he was willing to take the punches for. You know, Fizdale is a guy who clearly has risen above a lot of different situations in his life to be in a place where he is successful as a coach to the point where he can be an NBA head coach without ever having played in the NBA. That is important to understand. He is clearly a guy who knows what he's talking about. But leading up to the Chandler Parsons coming out, Vince Carter going in dilemma, he tried a lot of different things. It was like he was throwing a lineup against the wall just to see if it would stick and be successful. Now it seems like Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Vince Carter, DeMichael Green, and Marc Gasol, that's probably going to be the starting lineup moving forward. But all the things leading up to that moment, all the issues, all the Andrew Harrisons and Brandon Wrights, and, you know, obviously Fizdale is doing what he thinks is best, trying to find a winning combination. How do you think he is handling the adversity that has come his way? Yeah, Memphis lost against, or won, excuse me, Memphis won against the Bucks on Monday night, but before that they had lost five in a row. We can't just forget those five games ever happened because Chandler Parsons is out. How do you think Fizdale's handling the adversity?
Well, I've definitely been a critic lately with how Fizdale has been handling the lineup situation, because I'd been a proponent of moving Chandler Parsons to the bench in order to allow him to get in a rhythm with restricted minutes and starting someone like Vince Carter or Troy Daniels or Tony Allen. And Parsons' injury has obviously forced Fizdale's hand in this, and I do like him starting Vince Carter because he's having the best season that the Grizzlies could hope for. And it's been a little frustrating also for me to watch the decrease in Troy Daniels' minutes the past few weeks, when he's generally had a positive impact when he's come in the game. But with Parsons being out, I'm guessing his minutes will increase as well. I'll say Fizdale has had a lot to juggle this season, but I think this last stretch will really be telling of really who he is as a coach, honestly.
And that's important. We have to remember he's a first-year head coach. He's coming into a veteran locker room, and he's done amazing things, like convincing Zach Randolph to be a sixth man of the year candidate, or getting Marc Gasol to finally make, you know, that three-point shot, something that people have been calling for in Memphis for years. And you know, apparently you hear quotes all the time about, oh, Mark's been doing this for years in practice. You know, finally we have a coach that allows for him as a big man to kind of play on the perimeter a little bit more and create space for others. This is just another example of him trying to kind of find his way as a head basketball coach in the NBA. And I think, to his credit, he is handling it as upfront and as directly as he can. And I think that you can respect that as a player. As long as you're direct, you might not always like the things that you hear coming out of your coach's mouth, but as long as he's honest with you, and as long as that coach is, you know, able to explain the logic, you may not agree with the logic, but it's not your job to agree with the logic. The job is to execute what the coach wants you to do. I think that the Grizzlies have done that pretty admirably to this point. We're chatting with Grace Baker, GBB's game coverage editor. She covers games for us, does a terrific job. Follow her on Twitter if you don't already do so, at GraceBaker901. And, of course, you're listening to GBB Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, as part of our back-to-back pods week at GBB. Listen to us, then listen to You Like Hoops with Chase Lucas, or vice versa. However you're doing it, make sure you're checking out both podcasts this week. As the Grizzlies begin a rare Wednesday and Thursday back-to-back. Usually we record on Wednesdays or Thursdays, and because the Grizzlies play a Wednesday-Thursday back-to-back, we bumped it up to Tuesday. So we're releasing two podcasts at once. Grace, I'm curious as to your take on this when it comes to Fizdale. It's taken him a while to kind of buy in to Tony Allen as a starter, and I'm still not sure he's fully convinced. Obviously, from day one, he was convinced that Zach Randolph needed to go to the bench, and obviously that has paid dividends. I wrote an article this week about going back to the core four, and you know, even if it's not necessarily as a starting unit, I advocated for it as a starting unit, but even if it's not as a starting unit, you know, at least getting those guys more minutes, because of the fact that they're so familiar with each other, and especially now that Parsons is out, which was not the case when I posted the article. Now that Parsons is out, it's the most familiar thing. It's not like that group has been bad. You know, over the past seven seasons, they've posted a negative net rating once out of 7 years. And if you watch the game, and again, I could sense the energy in that fourth quarter. Who closed out against the Bucks? It was the core four and Vince Carter. So those five guys, veteran presence, they were able to go out there and get the job done against a young, athletic Milwaukee team that a lot of people, myself included, were nervous were going to run the Grizzlies off the floor if they had played a lineup like that, you know, say 2 months ago. But now that you're in this place where Chandler Parsons is not likely going to be a part of your immediate future, do you think that Fizdale should go to the core four a little bit more, even if it's not as a starter? Because, again, Jermichael Green's having a good season too. But do you think that he should look to getting those four guys, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, back together a little bit more? Because they've only played about, you know, roughly, it's definitely less than 200 minutes this season, a couple of seasons after playing 700-plus minutes together.
I think he should give them more minutes. I think he should give the core four more minutes because, I mean, you look over the previous years, and they've had success. I mean, it's been a successful lineup statistically. And, you know, look at last night. Tony Allen had 15 points starting against the Bucks, and I think Fizdale's just scared of Tony Allen's inability to shoot from the perimeter. But, I mean, you can start him alongside someone like Troy Daniels, and he can provide that shooting. And then look at Zach Randolph. He's having a really great season. I think it's kind of gone a little – it's been a little underrated, a little undernoticed just because of some other six men in the league. But, you know, he definitely could be a candidate for six men of the year. And I don't think necessarily Zach Randolph needs to start. Like you said, Jermichael Green's having a really good year. But I like the core four closing out games because the chemistry they have is you can't buy it. You can't replace it. It's kind of priceless, honestly, just because they've played so many minutes together and been through so many battles together. They have those scars together, honestly.
And they are scars. There's no doubt about that. They've been through some good times and some bad times together. You know, the article recently came out about Mark and Zach kind of looking at each other as brothers, which folks already knew. Mike and Mark are best friends. Tony and the city of Memphis have a pretty powerful relationship. So it's unique in Memphis to have this group of guys that have been together for literally seven seasons now. And to me, especially now that Parsons is out, you can kind of ride that into the sunset. You're a big fan and proponent of Troy Daniels, as you mentioned earlier. Would you like to see Troy in that starting spot instead of Vince Carter, or are you cool with Vince Carter being the starter, regardless of Zach or Jermichael? Would you rather see Troy there, or are you okay with Vince being that starter?
I'm okay with Vince Carter being there. He doesn't necessarily have to play starters minutes. You know, I think it'll just depend on matchup, whether you start Daniels or Carter. I feel like you could just play around with it depending on the matchup. And then whoever Fizdale wants in the crunch time, he can put just whichever one he wants in. I feel like both are good options. But I do like Troy Daniels. I think he provides good shooting and just his age and athleticism more so than maybe Vince Carter does. But Vince Carter also provides more veteran leadership, and he's also great in the crunch time. So I'm a proponent of either one, really, just more depending on matchup, probably.
I'm a Vince Carter fan in that spot for the reason you just said. He has so much experience that his game is malleable. It can kind of match up and mesh with anybody that he's out there with. He can create off the pick and roll. His game is just a little bit more well-rounded than Troy Daniels. And I'll be honest with you, Grace, watching Troy Daniels try to play defense makes me sad. So I'm cool with Vince Carter. But I agree, you can't play Carter starter's minutes 30-plus minutes a night because he's going to wear down. He's 40 years old, and no matter how amazing of an athlete you are, no matter how much time you put it in the gym and then your cardio, like Vince clearly does, he takes tremendous care of his body. Father Time's undefeated. You know, Father Time comes for us all, and I think that you want to keep Vince as healthy as you can going into the playoffs because that's where your end game is. You're trying to get as much out of a playoff run as you can. Speaking of the playoffs, Grace, our GAV Live question of the day today, and thanks so much to the near 240 voters who participated in the vote in the poll today. Pretty cool. I think that's one of our highs in terms of votes, probably because it was a hot button topic, kind of getting a vibe for where Grizzly fans think the team is post Parsons, you know, a post Parsons post mortem, so to speak. The question of the day was, Grace, with Parsons likely out, what are your expectations for the Grizzlies? If we're being honest with each other, going into tonight's games, the Grizzlies still the 7 seed, a half game behind the Thunder, 37-30. The Thunder's 37-29 as of this recording. They're 3 games back of the 5 seed, Clippers. They're now 5 games back of the Jazz at the 4 seed. So it's looking unlikely that Memphis is going to catch those folks with about 16 or 15 games to go, 15 games to go. But surely the 6 seed is still in play. I asked the question, what do you think the Grizzlies can do post-Parsons? What are your expectations for the Grizzlies with Parsons likely out? The options were 7 seed out in the first round, 7 seed win in the first round. Again, the Grizzlies currently the 7 seed as of this recording. The 6 seed win in the first round, and then 6 seed out in the first round. And believe it or not, at least it was surprising to me, Grace, 51% of people picked the 6 seed win in the first round. So that would mean a likely matchup with the Houston Rockets, a team who has beaten Memphis like a drum before, and obviously the Grizzlies have competed with them as well. But most recently, it was a bad showing, and people would probably point to the fact that Parsons played in that game. But to me, Houston has an MVP candidate in James Harden. They have Eric Gordon and Lou Williams, or two guys who are probably going to cost Zach Randolph the Sixth Man of the Year award, because both of them are having tremendous years off the bench as well. And this team just lost their third best player. You can argue they never had him. Obviously, this year they never had him healthy. But you're going to be depending on 40-year-old Vince Carter, and you're going to be depending on James Ennis, who maybe on a good team is a good 10th man, but you're going to have heavy minutes for him. And you're depending on Troy Daniels, who, as we mentioned earlier, has an elite skill as a three-point shooter, but he doesn't defend very well. So to me, the lead vote getter was 6th seed and went in the first round. The second lead vote getter, 24%, I have to give credit to some possibly realistic fans, 7th seed out in the first round, and then 6th seed out in the first round was 17%, and then the last place vote getter was 7th seed went in the first round at 8%. But Grace, that means if we're counting just ins, 59% of voters think that the Grizzlies are going to win their first round series without Chandler Parsons. Only 41% think that they are going to lose in the first round. To me, unless it's the Utah Jazz, I don't see the Memphis Grizzlies winning in the first round without a healthy Chandler Parsons. And that is why I was always a supporter of trying to see if he could get to 70% or 80% of what he was capable of being. Because without him, and now it looks like they're going to be without him, I just don't like their ceiling. Am I being too negative, Grace? Do you think the Grizzlies can actually win a playoff series against Houston, or heaven forbid, Golden State or San Antonio, without Chandler Parsons?
Well, you know, I love the optimism from the fans. I'll give them that. But I don't think we can win a playoff series without Chandler Parsons. I think we'll land at 6th seed, play Houston, and lose in the first round. I mean, I was in the train of thought that Parsons could play through this big rut he was having because, I mean, without a doubt, he was playing terrible and seemed almost a non-factor most nights. But I felt like come April and into the playoffs, he would start shooting more consistently. And I will say that I've had a lot of patience with the guy, even though watching him clank shots night after night was very frustrating. But I still think he would have helped in a playoff series. Like you said, his defense is better than Daniels. And honestly, he still is a perimeter threat. I mean, teams are going to respect his shot. And if Memphis doesn't have him come late April, it's going to be hard for them to make it out of the first round, in my opinion. There were some pretty high expectations coming into this season, but the Parsons situation has really limited us. And I don't think they can pull it out. They might make it close, but like you said, Houston has an MVP candidate in James Harden, and I just don't think they're going to be able to get past that without Parsons.
I think you hit it on something pretty important there. They can keep it close. In no way do I think it will be a sweep. It won't be like last season where you kind of knew going in that it was going to be a disaster and they were just going to be destroyed in terms of playing the Spurs. You know, even Popovich came out and said it wasn't a fair fight the way that the Grizzlies were so bludgeoned by injury last year. But heading into this year, outside of Parsons, they're relatively healthy. I don't see Houston, Golden State, or San Antonio necessarily sweeping the Grizzlies. I think Memphis could maybe pull out one game against the Spurs or the Warriors, maybe force it to 6 or 7 against Houston. But they just have James Harden, who's tremendous, and they have a offense that is clicking so aggressively right now in a good way under Mike D'Antoni. I just don't see how they can do it. I'm in the chat room right now, and we have Jose, listening from Toronto, Canada. Hello, Jose. Thanks for chiming in on the chat. We talked about Parsons and Vince Carter. Vince Carter likely should be the starter. Obviously, Jose doesn't think it's ideal. I'm curious as to who he thinks is ideal. Maybe Troy Daniels, Grace. But Jose also says Houston has no size. I disagree a little bit. Clint Capella gave Mark a lot of issues in their last matchup. I think Capella was on pace to have like 20 points and 20 rebounds after her first quarter. He played a great game against Mark. You have Nene, who is in a great role, similar to Zach in Memphis. Now you have Nene coming off the bench for Houston, and he's been very good for them. So they have some size. Now, they certainly have a mismatch with Ryan Anderson at the 4, but at the same time, you can't play Zach and really take advantage of that. Jermichael's game is not strong in the post. You can't play Zach to take advantage of that because Zach is going to really struggle with Ryan Anderson defending on the perimeter. So there's mismatches on each side, but Houston's talent and ability to score the basketball really just makes me nervous, Grace.
Yeah, I don't think that Memphis is going to be able to get past them without Parsons. Like I said, even though Parsons hasn't been great this season, he was still a threat and he was still better than having, honestly, Troy Daniels on defense, like you said. And I just don't think Memphis has the power to get through Houston because, like you said, Houston is clicking on all cylinders right now. I mean, they look really good. And the last matchup you could really see, like you said, Marc Gasol even struggled in the paint against Houston last game. So I just don't think that we're going to be able to power through. I think we'll push it to 6 or 7 games. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be a sweep. It's going to be an entertaining series regardless. But I just don't think we're going to be able to pull it out, unfortunately. I just don't have that amount of optimism about it.
My vote on the poll of the day was 6 seed out in the first round. I do think that they'll play better in the regular season. I think that you'll see them clicking better because Parsons isn't there. Because, again, they were overcompensating for Parsons. When your coach comes out in the media and says, we're starting him, they weren't going to put him to the bench, like you mentioned earlier, Grace, we're starting him because we have to protect him. When you say that, that's not good. Again, I can't stress that enough. As a Chandler Parsons guy, he was not good this season. He had maybe 1 or 2 good games max out of, you know, however many he played, 35 or so probably. I'd have to double-check those numbers. But however many games he played, he only had maybe 2 good ones, and that's not enough, obviously. So they're going to play better in the regular season. I think they'll get around those 48 wins that I had them getting when the season began, maybe a little bit less, 47 or 46. But that's probably good for the 6 or 7 seed. They certainly won't fall to the 8. And in a matchup with Houston, I think there are some potential wins for Memphis in terms of matchups. But at the same time, James Harden's one of the best players in the world. You got Eric Gordon and Lou Williams coming off the bench. The Grizzlies just don't have the firepower. I think that would be Houston in 6. And like I said, if it's Golden State or the Spurs, you'd depending on the health of Kevin Durant with the Spurs or with the Warriors, but especially the Spurs aren't quite as good as they've been in the past, but they still have Kawhi. And you could argue they are as good as they've been in the past. You know, they have Kawhi. He's having an MVP caliber year. You put Kawhi on Mike Conley, as I've said before, and that has been the checkmate. Memphis has no answer for that, and they still have no answer for that moving forward. We're wrapping up here with Grace Baker, wonderful game coverage editor for GrizzlyBearBlues.com here on GBB Live. I'm your host, Joe Mullinax. Make sure you're following Grace on Twitter if you don't already, at GraceBaker901. The next time we record GBB Live on the Blog Talk Radio airways will be Wednesday, March 22nd, Grace. Excited to have a couple of days off here a little bit. But we'll be back on March 22nd, and it's going to be a good show as always. But we have some games to get to between now and then, and we always end the podcast with a preview of the week ahead. Wednesday, obviously Wednesday night, they play the Bulls in Chicago. Then Thursday night, they're in Atlanta, a chance for some quick revenge against the Hawks, who beat the tar out of the Grizzlies in FedEx Forum recently. Saturday night against the Spurs in Memphis. That'll be a big game, big Saturday night game. And then finally, before we're back on Blog Talk Radio, they play Tuesday night at New Orleans. That'll be their first chance to see Boogie and the Brow together. And that's not necessarily going well, at least at the moment, for New Orleans. But that's still a pretty potent matchup for the Grizzlies, and they've always struggled with New Orleans in the past anyway. Who are some key players to you? Obviously, Vince Carter continuing to be productive is probably a key. Do you think the Grizzlies can go 4-0 during these 4 games? What should be a realistic goal as Grizzlies fans look to the week ahead?
Well, okay, I definitely think it's possible for the Grizzlies to sweep the board here and win 4 in a row, but it's also possible for them to go on a 4-game losing streak. I mean, right now, no game is a gimme, and the Grizzlies are a toss-up in the way they've been playing. And if they play anything like they did Monday night, they stand a chance in every game. But they did just get off of a 5-game losing streak that wasn't pretty. So it'll be interesting to see how Memphis responds now, especially with Parsons being out. And if I had to make a prediction, I'd say Memphis grabs the win at Chicago tomorrow for sure and drops the 1 versus San Antonio while the other 2 are toss-ups. So I'm thinking it's going to be more 2-2, but 3-1 isn't impossible. But I definitely think it's key that the Grizzlies get off to fast starts because Memphis is great in the fourth quarter. So they don't have trouble finishing games, but losing first quarters constantly definitely will hurt them against teams like the Spurs. When I was doing some research recently in one of my articles, I saw that we were 30th in the league in points in the first quarter, which is just horrendous. And also, Marc Gasol needs to get back to his all-star ways because Mike Conley cannot carry this team alone, and Vince Carter is not scoring 24 points a night. And the playoff race is so tight right now. If they want to grab this 6th seed, that every game counts. So this is definitely a big stretch right here.
This is a big 4-game run. I agree. I think 2-2 is realistic. Again, I'm not going to overwhelmingly say the Grizzlies are back, as some people chose to do after one win against, again, Milwaukee was clearly one of the hottest teams in the NBA. But let's not forget, they were 12-17 on the road going into Memphis on Tuesday, on Monday night. They were a game below 500 going into that game. So that means they had to win six games just to get close to 500. It's not like the Bucks were some elite team that the Grizzlies picked off, especially the Hawks and then especially the Spurs on Saturday night. That'll be a good measuring stick for me as to where Memphis is in a post-Parsons world. I'd be cool with them going 2-2 if they can find a way to beat the Bulls and beat New Orleans, and then if they drop the Hawks and the Spurs. I think that continues to keep you on pace. That would put the Grizzlies at 39-32. If OKC, you know, cools off a little bit and, you know, they're at, you know, 31 losses, you're still keeping close to them heading into a four-game stretch at home to end the season in April. That would be ideal to me. If you could be within a game or two of Oklahoma City going into that last four games at home, then I think you'll get the sixth seed. I don't think they necessarily need to jump to the sixth seed right now. They just need to kind of keep it close, hold serve, and I think they can do that with a 2-2 record. Is 3-1 and 4-0 possible? Sure it is. If Vince Carter comes out and shoots 8-for-8, the Grizzlies can beat anybody in the NBA, but he's not going to do that. So you need Mark to be consistent. You need Mike to be consistent, and you need them to be the stars of the team. You need for Tony and Zach to continue to be invested with energy and effort. And you need for them to execute. You know, it's not always an effort thing when a team loses. Chase Lucas says that, and I agree with that. It's not necessarily, oh, they didn't try. Sometimes they try, and they're just not very good that night. So they need to be able to execute whatever the game plan is for that game, and they have to be able to move forward and do that consistently if they want to be a team that can push to get to that sixth seed, lock it in, and look ahead to a matchup with the Houston Rockets more than likely in the first round of the 2017 NBA playoffs, which Grace Baker will be covering for us at Grizzly Bear Blues. Very excited for that. Grace, continue the good work as always. And once we get closer to the playoffs, you better believe we'll have you back on as a playoff preview as you cover the series for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Thank you, Grace, for your time.
Thank you so much, Joe, for having me on.
Of course, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that was Grace Baker. She does a great job for us at GBB as our game coverage editor. Make sure you're following her on Twitter if you don't already, at Grace Baker 901. We're finishing up here on GBB Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. But before we get out of here, a couple of things. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to our tremendous sponsor, Grizz Essentials. They are no longer Fan Essentials. They are Grizz Essentials, going back to their roots, still doing the same great Memphis Grizzlies gear, still doing the great subscription service sent right to your door. It's nice for a guy like me, being in Manassas, Virginia now, being able to log in, type in, go to GrizzEssentials.net, and get all the great Grizzlies gear that I need. Very fair prices. Mark does a great job over there. Mark also runs our video for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. And we're excited to continue that partnership. We're excited to expand upon it with Mark now being a part of the staff at GBB. And we're very excited to have Grizz Essentials as a sponsor of GBB Live. So make sure you're checking out GrizzEssentials.net. And make sure you're checking out Grizz Essentials at their first official watch party back, being Grizz Essentials, and that is our major announcement, ladies and gentlemen. GBB will be doing its next watch party with I Love Memphis and Grizz Essentials on Sunday, April 2nd, for the game against the Los Angeles Lakers. It is going to be a Sunday fun day, ladies and gentlemen, as they like to call it, as the kids call it these days. You'll be going to Memphis Made on that Sunday, April 2nd, 2:30 Central Time in the afternoon. It's a matinee, and it's a great opportunity to get out and meet with some Grizzlies fans, get ready for that playoff run. We'll have a playoff watch party as well, but it's a very good opportunity to kind of close out the regular season with Grizzlies fans. We will be giving away two pairs of tickets to Grizzlies home games wrapping up the season. It'll be interesting to see how that last four games at home goes, if it goes the way that I said, and hopefully they're playing for seeding. It would be great to go and see them live. GBB will be giving away two. I know Grizz Essentials will be giving away gear. I Love Memphis and Holly Whitfield always do a great job helping organize the party. So again, Memphis Made Brewery, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. Grizzlies Lakers, Sunday fun day. That's our next watch party. Make sure you join us there. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you to Grace Baker, my tremendous guest. She really is doing a great job for us at GVB. Continue to make GrizzlyBearBlues.com your one-stop shop for all your Memphis Grizzlies blogging needs. Continue to listen to Grizzly Bear Blues Live's iTunes channel and our Blog Talk Radio channel, as we have GBB Live now, as well as You Like Hoops with Chase Lucas. If you haven't caught his latest episode with Kevin Leip, that'll be posting Wednesday. Make sure that you're checking that out as the week goes on. He does a great job with those. And Kevin, former site manager of GBB, I'm sure he has plenty of interesting answers as he goes through Chase's gauntlet of questions with You Like Hoops that I love to listen to. So make sure that you are listening to that. Make sure that you are checking in with us next week as we prepare for the stretch run. Hopefully we're talking about continued success for the Grizzlies, and hopefully I'm feeling a little bit more positive in this post-Parsons world. Again, the next time GBB Live is on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves is March 22nd. Until then, thank you all so much for listening. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.